We have our Original Joe's contest going. All you have to do is tweet in at Baseball Marty, then guess the score of today's game. You qualify for the pool. Raf picks the winner at two winners at the end of the month. And just guess the score of today's game. Dinner for two at Original Joe's, North Beach, West Lake, or West Portal. Bruce Jenkins, good morning.
Hey, Marty, what's going on?
Well, you're a big fan of Westlake. I know that for Original Joe's.
You know, it's in real life, that's my go-to spot. When we want to have dinner with another couple, we go there. It's just, why go anywhere else? It's really a cool place, the good old San Francisco feel, and it's pretty cool. Really like it.
Yeah, I love it. The Dugan family couldn't be nicer to us. So we we got the contest going, and we'll see how that turns out. But Carlos Rodon, Bruce, yesterday, complete game. He was so excited afterwards. Everyone wrote about it. My God, a complete game. They forgot that's what a pitcher's supposed to do.
Yeah, it's obviously something we don't see very often. It's not going to come back. I read somewhere the average start for a big leaguer today is five innings. That's what you can expect to see from the average start. But for him, it was so important in so many ways. You know, he made a pretty caustic remark about how poorly the Giants were playing and, you know, didn't have the energy that they needed to stay in this race. And he went out there and personally delivered it, you know, the fire, as Kapler said. And it was such a big deal for Rodon. It's only the third time he's gone the distance. And it goes back his very first year, 7 years ago he got one. But then last year and this year, that's it, three. He's got three complete games. And the way he leaped off that mound and pumped his fist, you know, he was really jacked up, and it was so great Kapler could see the whole picture there. You know, I mean, that whole thing about, well, we're going to bring in a reliever who's got just as good as stuff. Well, no, not yesterday.
No.
I don't care if the Giants bullpen is in good shape, which it isn't, but in any case, nobody's going to come out there with that kind of stuff. I mean, add the twilight to it, which made it really tough for the first, you know, the middle innings in particular, but it's funny, when that fastball is really crackling, it's not hit. I mean, Manny Machado never did catch up to it. Nobody can really hit that thing. And I was looking up Hunter Green, right? The guy for the Reds, a young kid, he throws 101 miles an hour. He's given up 22 homers.
Wow.
Rodon's only given up four. I mean, there's a difference between in the heat, you know. I think Green's pitch kind of comes sizzling right down the pipe, and Rodon just takes off to the sky, or God knows what it's doing. But you guys are lucky to foul it off.
So he's getting close to his option amount of innings, 110, and then he can option out of the contract for next year. What would it take to keep him? I guess if he has, you know, obviously he's back and looks terrific, he's going to get a good deal. I wonder what it would take for the Giants to keep him, or should they try to keep him?
Oh, God, yes. I mean, if he finishes the season, even if they don't make the playoffs, if he finishes the season in this kind of form, I would do anything it would take to keep him. I mean, you know, they lose Gaudman, that hurts. Cueto's pitched the gem just yesterday. I mean, to get a really quality starter like that, it's hard to do, and they've been very fortunate. They usually have had two or three at a time, but I would do whatever is necessary, assuming he finishes the season. If they get to the playoffs, especially if they get past the first round, and Rodon gets caught up in the excitement of the team and the franchise and the city, you know, I can't read his mind there. I'm sure he would definitely consider it, but it's like God. You figure, why would you leave? You know, but he does, and more money is offered, and there they go, they're gone. So
yeah. Yeah, this is one, and I'm going to say this. The Giants are interested in, you know, we talk about Aaron Judge and people like that, and they kick the tires on Harper and Suzuki and different players, but not really on pitchers. I think it's time to take a chance on a pitcher, even though they say, well, in 3 or 4 years his shoulder could be out or this and that. What he brings to this team every fourth or fifth day, whatever it may be, is worth it. It's worth the risk, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, Crawford compared Rodon to Bumgarner because there's just so much fire in that guy. You can see it. He doesn't have to say anything. It's just like steaming out of his head, you know. and that's a huge element to have in your favor. There aren't many pitchers like that. Scherzer's like that. You know, Bob Gibson, going back a few years, but to have that kind of stuff, but it rubs off on people. I mean, you know, some pitchers they like to sit alone, you know, before the start and between innings, and they're just over there. But with Rodon, you don't even really want to even go near him anyway. he's so pumped up and so serious, and it means so much to him. But hey, the desire certainly isn't lacking, and that was a big development, I think, for the Giants.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something about the Padres. And, you know, take Manny Machado away. Now, Tatis is not around. They need a big hitter, and it's not Luke Voit. First of all, you ought to get a shirt that fits him. But, I mean, it's not Luke Voit. Josh Bell looks better to me if I'm a San Diego person. They're going to need some help. They're no lock to be the second wild card, I'll tell you that. I think Atlanta or the Mets will get in ahead of them.
Yeah, they need Will Myers to come back. That's a good bat for them. And the way it stands now, you know, guys like Cronenworth and Hosmer and Grisham, those are good hitters. But you're right, they need that big anchor. You know, that's what makes the Yankees so tough for Atlanta, the Phillies. You know, a lot of teams where you got that guy, you know, Soto, heaven's sakes, you know, Trout. And that's right now, Machado's is the guy. And it's tough, you know. He can't carry him every single day. But I don't know. I like the Padres in general. I think when Tatis comes back, that's going to be great. But you know, for Rodon, really, he gave a pretty good lesson yesterday.
Yeah, good win. It was a good win.
Yeah,
I like it. Hey, a big story in the Chronicle this morning by John Shea. Bruce, I don't know if you got to see it. I hope you did. About Joe Lacob. Did you read all that about? He wanted to buy the A's at Bud Selig, wouldn't approve him, and gave it to Lou Wolf and John Fisher. And it's a great story by John Shea about the A's, and they could have been purchased by Joe Lacob, who, of course, you know, built the Taj Mahal of Chase Center with the Warriors.
Yeah, I just picked up my paper a little before I came on. I haven't read John's story. I'm sure it's great. I am familiar with that. I know Lacob has been interested in buying the team, you know, since then. You know, at the time, you know, when Selig's weighing all these moves, you know, who knows really from Joe Lacob? You know, he'd been involved in women's basketball in a professional league that really good, but for one reason or another didn't make it. He didn't get the nod. But as we look back, oh my God, and just the fact that he wants to buy the A's and Fisher won't sell, it just casts Fisher in such a pathetic light. He would make so many people happy, including the ones at his cocktail parties, if he even has them. You know, that's a big part of owning a team is, yeah, I own the A's, and you get together with people, and, oh, this is great and great. He's the worst owner ever. You know, I mean, does he even realize that? Just sell the damn team.
Yeah, the story is, read it, and I encourage everyone to read it. John Shea did a really nice, very good investigative report here. Hey, Lacob had the deal with Steve Schott. It was going to happen, and Bud Selig nixed it and pushed it to his fraternity brother, Lou Wolf and Fisher, and that was the end of it. So, yeah, too bad. Where did the A's end up? I mean, look, they won yesterday. They're on a pace to win 54 games. Where does all this end up, Bruce?
I'm looking at Fargo, North Dakota.
Yeah, okay.
Really underrated.
Not Bismarck,
site.
Okay, not Bismarck.
Yeah, you know, the winter ball up there is especially rich. I don't know. I mean, I still think I've always been skeptical about Howard Terminal. There's so many things wrong with that. You know, the artist renderings look great, and it's by the water and everything. But meanwhile, there's so many issues there. Parking's terrible. The BART's terrible. Getting out of the park. You know, that's a iffy proposition for if they ever do have a big crowd, and even if they do, even if they get it approved, you know, how many years away is it? Six? You know, I mean, and the obvious solution that one Fisher and Cavill won't acknowledge is to, you know, build on the existing site. And if Joe Lacob owned the team, I think there's no way he'd look to move him to Portland or Nashville or anything like that. He would do that. I mean, he's familiar with that site. Lord knows they won three titles in Oakland right there. And I think that would be his project, and it would be wonderful. He gets things done. Mm. Man, does he get things done. And,
yeah, and he gets it done. He pays for it, too, and doesn't ask
for
a handout.
Yeah, nobody pays but him. The taxpayers don't pay, and they just get to enjoy a guy who just is relentless in getting things done and building a championship team.
Well, maybe it'll happen. I hope it does. The fans are great.
Yeah, I do too.
I love the A's fans are great. They're like old Candlestick fans. You know, they know the game, and there's so many of them, and it just takes treating them right, and I've always felt that way. All right.
No doubt.
Well, John Shea did a good job today.
Yeah, I'll be on that. I'm anxious to read that. That sounds great.
We talked a little bit about Keith Hernandez yesterday in the ceremony. Did you get to see the video? I don't know if you did or not.
Oh, geez. Well, I get the baseball package, and I always tape the Mets to watch Gary Cohen and Keith and Ron Darling, so I turn on the game, and, in a wonderful development, the ceremony had just started on the telecast, so I saw the whole thing. I saw my good friend Gary Hernandez, who I've known for years, Keith's older brother, who's getting a lot of credit lately, well-deserved for being a mentor to Keith, really good ballplayer in his own right, and their dad was a great ballplayer. They're all first basemen. It's just all left-handed hitters. It's just a wonderful thread. But Keith, he gave a great speech, and Cohen and Darling were just marveling how well the Mets did that. It reminded me of a great Giants ceremony. But they said this was the best the Mets have ever been in honoring anybody, and the reception he got from the fans.
Great.
It was long and loud, and then after about a minute, they start chanting something. I'm not sure what it was, but they were all chanting the same thing. And when Mattingly came out, it was perfect that the Marlins were in town. And when Mattingly hugged Keith Hernandez, those are my two guys for the Hall of Fame. Those are the two guys that – and Will Clark, too. I throw all three firstmen in there. Those are three guys that should be in the Hall. And I guess in November a vote comes up that could get I think Mattingly and Hernandez have a pretty good chance at this next time around.
Well, I brought it up, the video, and you just touched on it, was just outstanding. And it's a challenge to the Giants because, Will Clark's number's being retired this summer. And they should watch that performance yesterday for Keith Hernandez. That's a good challenge for the Giants.
Oh yeah, they'll meet the challenge. I mean, they never fail to deliver and do things that you hadn't expected and bring people out of the woodwork you didn't expect. And I'm sure they'll do it upright.
Boy, very nice, Keith Hernandez. I like that a lot. There's a real question: who should start the All-Star game for the National League? And there's a story.
Kershaw.
You think so? Above Alcantara, really?
You have to allow for a little bit of sentiment. And first of all, you don't need that much. He's in the top five ERA. He went seven two-thirds, 10 Ks yesterday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's pitching his butt off. There has to be. It's like, bringing Pujols and Miggy Cabrera into the game. It's just great for the fans. I mean, Kershaw and Ohtani in L.A., that's what it has to be. I don't care what Alcantara's ERA is. I really don't. He's a great pitcher. He's having a better year. So is Gonsolin, probably. No, make it a real treat. Make it special.
Okay. No, but you convinced me. I'm with you. All right. I thought Alcantara, but I'll go with Kershaw. Absolutely, and it will make will Ohtani? I guess Ohtani will pitch for the American League, right?
Yeah, and he should start the game. They should both go old style and go three innings.
Okay. Well, this Gonsolin is 11-0, believe it or not. And,
yeah.
I bring it up because the last Dodger to go 11-0 was Alex Wood, who pitches today. How about that?
I saw that. Yeah, I had totally forgotten that. That was like 2017 or something.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
This Alex Wood. They need a good game from him today. They need Wood and Cobb before this trade deadline to show, as you pointed out, not they can go complete games, but they could go six innings, six and a third, and take the pressure off the bullpen. It eventually cost Jake McGee his job, really, because they just used him probably too much.
Yeah, that was pretty abrupt, although, to have watched him lately, I don't think anybody was too crushed to see that. But I'd rather see it go seven, really, than five. And if you're only going five or six, maybe, then you're going through three or four guys a night, and And it can work. You know, it can work all the way to the end if you do it right and you get a little few breaks. But I'd rather they turn it over to the bullpen in the eighth and ninth. And then you can mix it up a little bit, you know, give Rogers and Duvall and whoever's out there, De Leon, you know, where they won't have to work a certain game. Because, you know, throwing bullets every night, that's I don't care if you only threw eight of them. I mean, you know, you've warmed up and it's another, you know, few bullets spent out of your arm. So I'd like to see him go longer. I feel good about Wood, whatever it's going to be. I feel real good about him in that, you know, giving you that good outing. Cobb is a little bit different. He seems to, you know, minor injuries have caught up with him quite a few times. But, you know, he's a big league pitcher, so we'll see how that goes. It's very hard to predict.
Well, you got Webb and you got Rodon. They can take you deep in the game. They could go 7 or 8. They really can.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, but it's the other three, and plus you got the bullpen game still lurking around until Junis comes back. So they're going to need a pitcher, and they're going to be in this thing. There's no question in my mind they will be in it. That's just the way this six wild card berth, you know, works out. They're going to be in
it. Yeah, the way that works out, I mean, the three wild card teams make it, you know, that didn't finish first. And, yeah, you'd have to think Atlanta and San Diego are going to be two of those teams. Certainly Atlanta, I would say San Diego also. But then, you know, then you got the Phillies and the Cards and the Giants and maybe the Marlins, you know, really close to each other. So, you know, Giants fans should be following the Phillies and the Cardinals every day. And hoping that they don't win. The Phillies have scored like one run in over the last two games, and the Cardinals have been terrible. They've lost 8 out of 10, but which is why the Giants are as close as they are, because, you know, we know the Giants haven't played well lately. But watch those teams. Watch the Cards and the Phillies and know that the Giants are in it as long as they're close to those teams.
Yeah, it's time to start doing that. You know, the Phillies are an interesting story here. You know, they shut out the Cardinals the last couple of games. And they've got Wheeler, who's pitching really well. Nola's pitching well. They've got a couple of injuries. Eflin is hurt in this starting rotation. But, you know, it's a new manager. And Joe Girardi's gone. And, you know, uptight. And, you know, clubhouse was not, you know, going along with him, so to speak. And now they bring in Thompson, who, again, I have no idea who he is. And he's turned the whole thing around, and they can't. They're just winning like crazy. It's like Jack McKeon. Remember Jack McKeon with the Marlins?
Oh God, yes, absolutely. Yeah,
2003. Remember that, Bruce?
He was 90.
They brought him in, and he'd sit on the bench smoking a cigar, and they ended up winning the World Series.
He's sitting in the dugout at Yankee Stadium, and you know Burkett's and not Burkett. who's
Beckett.
The big right-hander?
Yeah, Beckett.
Beckett. Josh Beckett. Shuts out the Yankees, and they win the whole thing. And there's Jack McKeon. He's 108 years old with a cigar. And see you later. We just won the whole thing, you guys.
I love it. So the Philly story. The Philly story is. I'm glad you brought it up. It's worth watching. Hey, it is Sunday, and I always like to look at who the league leaders are, at least in batting average. You know, like to see that. Goldschmidt's 340. Then it's Harper 318. Then McNeil 315. And then down to Machado, 311. So the averages are going down.
Yeah, I'd like to see more guys in the 320s and 330s there.
Yeah.
I love the guy on top of the American League. He's one of the guys I really would hope makes the All-Star team. I imagine he would. Luis Arias is hitting like 355, something like that.
Yep, 355. Yep.
Yeah.
And, Devers is 327. Benintendi, who's going to get traded to somebody. From Kansas City.
There.
Yeah, 317. And J.D. Martinez at 313. So I like to do that. And we are at the halfway point pretty much. Schwarber, 27 home runs. Alonso, 23. Hit one yesterday. Austin Riley, 22. He had one yesterday. And then this Christian Walker, Bruce, who can hit the ball hard. He's got 21. We'll see him with Arizona.
Right, yeah, they're playing Arizona pretty soon here.
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, that's pretty soon.
Yeah,
some of those guys. I mean, for Riley, the All-Star thing is so difficult to make. You got Arenado and Machado at third. This guy, I mean, Riley's got 21 or 22 homers, something like that. But he doesn't make the team. I mean. I really hope Schwarber makes it, because he's just a show with his power. Peterson's got an outfield slot locked up, which is great. I'd love to see Schwarber in there. I'd like to see Soto, too. He's heating up a little bit, maybe too late to get a spot, but everybody knows he's one of the really stars of the game. And again, you know, sentiment, it's more than sentiment. It's like putting the best guy out there. It's like, you know, Mookie Betts starting, even though he missed some time. Yes, he should be starting. There's a lot of guys that you'd like to see. In the American League, a couple of guys I'd like to see are Julio Rodriguez and Jeremy Pena. Fans should be paying attention to these guys. Super exciting young players that speak so well about the future of the game and for Seattle.
Seattle's won 7 in a row, Bruce, and the Orioles have won 7 in a row, too. How about that?
You know who I like is Adley Rutschman, the catcher of the Orioles.
Boy.
He's like a little kid out there. He's so spirited. Sometimes I think the veterans are going, dude, it's like, calm down. It's like when Magic Johnson broke in with the Lakers. He was going crazy and hugging Kareem. It's like, dude, it's just one game. But Rutschman brings that energy, and he's a tremendous all-around player. And the Orioles are pulling out all these great wins, and he's a part of it. Kid out of Oregon State, that's a great thing.
No, the whole division, when you add up all their records, of course, the Yankees are going nuts. They're over 500, the whole division.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good. The Orioles, 7 in a row, and Seattle has put themselves in the mix. They're 7 in a row, too. All right, July 10th, we do have an All-Star game to talk about. It's 1956, the National League wins 7-3. Bruce, how about the home runs in the game? Mays, Mantle, Williams, Musial. Mays, it's a pinch hit home run off Whitey Ford, and it's his 7th straight hit off Whitey Ford. What a day. What a day.
Yeah. I mean, Ted, Warren Spahn's out there, Ted Williams homers, then Mantle homers, okay? Williams homer tied Stan Musial for most, you know, career in an All-Star game, which was 4. But then Musial comes up later and hits one, and now he's got the record back for 5. It's just great.
I love it.
But that whole Mays and Ford thing was wild. I mean, this was early in the going as Mays just completely owned Whitey Ford. He hit a pinch hit homer in this game, in 56 All-Star game. And by the way, coming off the bench, the weird thing about this game we're talking about, the fans voted in 5 Cincinnati Reds as starters and 3 more as reserves. So he got Reds everywhere. On the bench, you've got Aaron Mays, you got Duke Snyder, you got Ernie Banks and Campanella and Eddie Matthews. None of them started.
I love it.
But they won it anyway. But Mays against Ford became this amazing thing. I mean, in 59 All-Star game, he triples home a run and knocks Ford out of the game. In 1960, he homers off Ford, and he winds up going 6-for-7 in All-Star games and lifetime, including the 62 series when the Yankees played the Giants. He was 10-for-16 against Ford, one of the greatest pitchers ever. That's like, that's a gaudy, as they say, 625.
Wow. I didn't know that. Very good. Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, we'll see what happens today. Giants try to square the series 2-2 at San Diego. Bruce, thanks so much, as always. Talk to you next week.
Thank you. Thanks, Marty.
All right. That is Bruce Jenkins. Boy, good stuff today. All right. Coming up next, Pulitzer Prize winner Ira Berkow is coming up next. A wonderful book, Baseball's Best Ever. Wait to hear these stories. Coming up right here, KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.